In the world of prepping, it's easy to get caught up in the excitement of acquiring gear, stocking up on supplies, and fortifying your defenses. However, one crucial principle is often overlooked, and that is the simple fact that you can't eat gear. We have two segments today, You Can't Eat Gear and Non-Medication Ways to Deal with Arthritis Now or in the Grid Down event. Stay with us.
Hey, welcome to Practical Prepping. Today is April the 1st, 2024, and this is episode 460. This is the Prepping Podcast with no bunkers, no zombies, and no alien invasions, just practical prepping, where we believe that stuff happens, so we need to stay prepared, and we're here to help you get prepared. Hi, I'm Krista.
And I'm Mark. And if you'd like the expanded notes for this episode, go to practicalprepping.info/460. And if you aren't receiving the Practical Prepping newsletter, go to practicalprepping.info, click on free PDF, and you'll receive the Getting Started in Prepping PDF, and you will be added to the newsletter. All right, let's get into segment number one. In the world of prepping, as we said, it's easy to get caught up in the excitement of acquiring gear, our supplies, fortifying our defenses, building bug-out bags, building get-home bags, all kinds of things that we can get caught up in. However, we cannot eat our gear. Now, while having the right tools and equipment is essential for our survival, focusing solely on gear without considering your long-term sustenance can be a fatal mistake in any survival situation.
You know, the basis of you can't eat gear principle is very straightforward. When it comes right down to it, water and food are the ultimate necessities for survival and the two things that any prepper anywhere must prioritize. You know, no matter how well equipped you are with your knives, your tents, your water filters, all that tactical stuff, if you don't have enough water and enough food to sustain yourself and your loved ones, your chances of survival diminish rapidly. So we're going to talk about the you can't eat gear principle. And here's the rationale behind this principle.
There's a survival hierarchy. In any survival situation, your needs follow a hierarchy of water, shelter, fire, and food. While gear can help with these needs, water is at the top of the list because it provides the hydration necessary to sustain life.
Yeah, absolutely. And not only that, but it's also what you're going to need to cook all that dry food you've been storing as well. The minimum recommendation is 1 gallon per person per day for drinking and cooking. Now, we've talked about water a lot. If you've listened to this podcast, you know I preach water loud and long, and I'm still going to keep doing that because that priority is never going to change for me. But you have to have some stored, and you have to have a way to procure more, and you're going to need to have several ways to purify it. For a little bit more detail about that, you can jump back to episode number 86 back in August of 2021, and you'll get some more details on our podcast about ways to treat and store and acquire water.
Let's talk about shelter. Shelter means that you have a way to be protected from the elements. Now, most of the time, that's our residence. Mm-hmm. But in very hard times, that could mean having some means of sheltering outside of your residence. It could be a situation of having to make a multi-day trip on foot, getting home, or it could be getting lost in the woods. Shelter could be a tent, a bivy, a debris shelter, or even digging out an area in the snow under an evergreen tree. We consider shelter second in the hierarchy because exposure to extreme elements can kill in just a few hours.
You know, that's been proven over and over again. You know, the third one we want to talk about is fire. When we discuss fire, we're talking about not only something like, you know, a campfire, but being able to stay warm and having a fire from which to cook. Now, this could be an alternative heating, such as a wood-burning stove, or maybe a propane heater, which we use often, a fireplace, or even a campfire.
Food may not be as important for a day, but the body can live only about 3 weeks without food, and before that, cognitive reasoning can become greatly diminished after as little as 2 weeks. Now, we'll discuss more about food in just a minute.
Limited resources. You know, let's talk about that for a second. Any gear that you stock and store is going to be a finite item. So once you've used up your supplies, or if they become damaged or lost, you may not have access to replacements. This is where that old rule of two is one and one is none applies. We must have backups for our critical gear. Now, on the other hand, food can be renewable if you know how to forage, if you know how to hunt or fish, or even grow your own.
And we're looking here at long-term sustainability. And the gear can only sustain you for so long, especially if you're in a prolonged survival situation. Without sustainable water and food sources, you'll eventually run out of provisions and be left vulnerable.
Now, that kind of brings us to the next element of the physical and the mental well-being. We all know this is true whether you're in an emergency or not, but proper hydration and nutrition are crucial for maintaining both your physical and your mental health. I mean, I know that's to be true for real. In a survival scenario, though, your stress levels are going to be even higher. So having enough water and shelter and fire and food can at least provide a sense of security and stability. So while we agree that it's important to invest in quality gear and to also learn your essential survival skills, it is equally, you know, maybe if not more important to prioritize water, shelter, fire, heat, and food in your prepping efforts. So here are some practical steps to ensure that you are adequately prepared on the food front.
Now let's start by stockpiling non-perishable foods. Build a supply of non-perishable foods like canned goods, dried beans, rice, pasta, what you normally eat. These foods have a long shelf life and they can sustain you in the short term. Early in your prepping journey, you don't want to start storing 5-gallon buckets of beans, and don't worry about 25-year storage food just yet. Not at this point. You need to get a store of food and water, at least a couple of months' worth. Now, freeze-dried food is great once you have enough food that you can't rotate every year. With that said, and this might sound a bit like a contradiction, if you have a few months of food you normally eat, you can start adding in a little bit of long-term storage food if you want to. The reason is you don't want to have to dig into the long-term storage stuff for a week or two event or in a time of shortages in the grocery store. Our stores carried us through the shortages that were seen in the supply chain issues in the grocery store during COVID.
So definitely stockpile your non-perishable foods. Now, another thing that you can consider, and some of you already do this actively, you can develop skills such as foraging for safe edible plants and also brushing up on your hunting skills. A lot of you listening to us know exactly how to do this, and you are actively hunting for the meat that goes into your freezer and for that food supply chain that you're going to need. So learn how to identify the edible plants that are safe in your area, and also learn how to acquire some basic hunting and also fishing. Let's put that in the mix.
And you can add trapping. You can add all kinds of stuff in there with that. But you need to develop those skills. You could also start a garden. Consider starting a garden to grow your own fruits, vegetables, herbs. And it not only provides fresh, nutritious food, but it also teaches valuable self-sufficiency skills. Even if you live in an apartment, you can grow something.
Absolutely.
You can grow herbs in the kitchen, put them in the kitchen window. You can grow vegetables in buckets on the patio or the balcony. And if you have even a very small space, you can put in a small garden, even if it's just a 4-foot by 4-foot plot. Now, buying fresh vegetables at the farmer's market or a roadside market or a local farmer, it's a great option for fresh vegetables.
Well, you know, thinking of that, another thing that you can do is to learn how to Preserve food. Now, this applies to men and women. Learn some techniques about canning and preserving, dehydrating, freeze drying, even fermenting. A lot of folks are using this just in their everyday lives, but it's a perfect prepping skill. Those methods can really help extend the shelf life of your fresh foods and allow you to store them for longer periods, and will also give you access to fresh preserved vegetables during the winter time.
Now, by incorporating these strategies into your prepping efforts, you'll be better equipped to handle whatever challenges come your way. Remember, while gear is important, water and food are the ultimate key to survival. Don't overlook this fundamental principle in your preparedness planning because you can't eat your gear.
No, you cannot.
Let's go to segment two.
You know, some of us have arthritis, and I'm raising my hand. I have it too, and I've had it for years, mostly in my hands and my knees. And that seems to be a family tradition. My mother had it, my sister had it, and anybody that I've ever spoken to in our family struggles with arthritis. Now, for some of us, it's a minor annoyance. For others of us, it can be severe, even life-altering. So think about this. In a grid-down situation, we may not have access to those medications that relieve the debilitating pain of arthritis. So we wanted to explore some non-medication ways to manage arthritis. And that's going to include exercise. Every doctor that I've ever spoken to regarding arthritis says you've got to keep moving. Now, I tell the doctor, but it hurts. And the doctor says, I know. Keep moving. Because if you stop, if you park yourself in a chair or you're lying down all the time, your joints are just going to continue to deteriorate at a much greater rate and you'll lose some mobility. So continuing moving really seems to help.
It increases that flexibility and it will reduce that pain.
It actually does.
But in conjunction with that, we need to have some weight management. Maintaining a healthy weight can reduce the stress on the joints, especially for weight-bearing joints like the knees and the hips.
Absolutely. Something that I also like to do is both hot and cold therapy. Applying heat or cold to some of these affected joints can really help reduce the pain and the inflammation. That really does help.
We may not have availability of physical therapists if we're in a grid-down event. But if you have arthritis, it could help if we learned now some targeted exercises and stretches to improve joint mobility.
Massage therapy is also quite good. Gentle massage can help improve blood flow, reduce muscle tension, and alleviate pain in some of those affected joints.
Yeah, I have some arthritis in my left thumb. And sometimes when it's hurting, I just give it a good massage.
Sure.
A good thumb massage. And it seems to really, really help. Another thing that might help is dietary changes. And I'm going through some dietary changes right now, primarily for blood sugar. But some foods, like those that are high in omega-3 fatty acids and antioxidants, may help reduce the inflammation associated with the arthritis.
Something else you can do is stress management. You know, we had a podcast not too long ago about stress in general. Never really thought about that connection with stress in your life and the pain of arthritis, but stress can just exacerbate arthritis. Well, stress can do that to anything, but it just seems to really target arthritis symptoms. So techniques like meditation and some deep breathing or even practicing yoga may help reduce some of your stress levels, and that'll improve your overall well-being. I mean, hey, I'm willing to try it.
Now, there's some assisted devices using ergonomic tools or modifying your home and work environment to reduce the strain on the joints can also be helpful. The design of the chair that you sit in can really contribute to pain relief. I've got a pretty good chair that I sit in at the desk and sit in for podcasting, and it's comfortable. I've also had chairs in the past that I had to get up and walk about every 5 or 10 minutes because it hurt so much.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I changed. We now use walking sticks, not canes, but we use the hiking sticks for balance.
And like a trekking rod.
Yes. Yeah. And it gives us assistance when we're walking. It's just something that we knew we were doing it when we were hiking. So why not do it when we go to the park?
You know, and I found that using it really does help with walking along. To have that one extra point of support as you're walking along, it helps me walk longer and helps me walk more sure, you know, where I feel like I'm not as wobbly.
Yep, I'm wobbly enough anyway.
Right. So we want to talk to you today about today's cup of coffee, which we've been so enjoying this week. And that comes from Diana.
Diana, we really do appreciate it.
Sure do.
Now, if you receive value from the podcast, would you help us by giving back a little?
They'd be glad to.
First, you can buy us a cup of coffee like Diana. Second, you can start your Amazon shopping from our website. It costs you nothing extra, but it pays us a small commission on qualifying purchases. You'll find the links to both of those on practicalprepping.info. And both of those help us out, and we really do appreciate it. And as Krista always says,
stuff happens. Now remember, you can't eat your gear, but you do need to stay prepared.
And we'll see you next time.